We now continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Shviyos with lesson number 2. In lesson number 2, we will be continuing with the first perek, and we will be studying the third and fourth Mishnayos. Shviyos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, and Mishnah Dalet. Remember from yesterday that we are discussing the prohibition against plowing a field in the sixth year of the seventh year cycle because of the general prohibition against doing certain types of work on a field even prior to Shviyos because of the rule of Tosefes Shviyos, of adding onto Shviyos some of the sixth year, a concept which we will be going into in detail and really are just beginning to look at. We have been focusing upon one type of work only, and that one type of agricultural work only, and that is plowing, harisha. And we've learned that there are two types of fields, one that's discussed in this perek, stei ho'ilon, and one that will first be discussed in the next perek, the second perek, stei ha'lovon. And if a stei ha'lovon is a field of wheat, a field of barley, a field of beans for that matter, in which there are no trees, and there the prohibition against plowing at the time of the Mishnah Rishona, at the earlier time in the chronology of Shemitah, was prohibited from Pesach on, early in the spring, the beginning of spring. You already couldn't plow, for example, a wheat field. However, an orchard or a field in which trees were growing, a stei ho'ilon, and that's what we're discussing now in the first perek, you are permitted, under certain circumstances, to plow right up until, according to Beis Hillel, Atzeres, right up until Shavuos, which is already late spring. And we learned that when we ascertain, we try to define, does this field qualify as a stei ilon or not? It must have, number one, 3 trees, not less. Number 2, it must be spread over a territory no larger than 50 amos by 50 amos. That's a base sa'ah. And number 3, again following Rambam, not Rash, the 3 trees together must be able to produce at least a amount of te'enim, an amount of figs, which would produce a devela, a ball of figs stuck together, which would weigh shishim mone bo italki, 60 Italian monos, which is a weight. So they have to be pretty productive trees. The standard that we see that the Mishnah is looking at is the fig tree. There are many reasons advanced for why the fig tree. One simple reason is that figs yield, under normal circumstances, yield the same quantity every year, unless it's a terrible drought or some terrible catastrophe, natural catastrophe. You can count on your tree, your orchard of fig trees, that they will produce a certain amount the same year, year in and year out, which is not true for other types of fruits. So the constancy, the yitzivut, the ability to refer to a type of produce in constant terms, we use the example of the fig tree. But, of course, the halacha isn't restricted just to a fig tree. The halacha applies to an apple tree, to a estric tree, to a olive tree. Or, as we will see, even to a tree that doesn't produce edible fruit. So the Mishnah continues now, Mishnah Gimel of Perek Aleph. Echod ilon srak, v'echod ilon ma'achol, whether it's an ilon srak, which means a tree which does not bear fruit. Now I understand that technically every tree bears some kind of a fruit, but not always is that fruit edible. And there are trees which are grown not for the purposes of their fruit or food at all, but rather they're grown for the purposes of lumber or for the purposes of constituting a fence. And of course, Chazal were very, very aware of the various functions of an Ilan Srak. But the Mishnah here is telling us that the restrictions of plowing on Shishis on the sixth year and the leniency that we're able to plow a Steilon up until Erev Shuas of the sixth year applies both to an Ilan Srak, to a tree which does not bear edible fruit, and to an Ilan Machol, to a tree which does give edible fruit. How do we measure whether these three trees of apple trees or oak trees or walnut trees or cedar trees or whatever are productive enough so that they can be considered a stay of Ilan and allow us to plow up until Erev Shavuos? So the Mishnah says, Rowan oso ku ilu heim tenim. One looks at them and says, okay, such a tree, this size, this width, etc., if it was a fig tree, would it produce an amount of devela, an amount of figs, a ball of sticky figs that would equal to the weight of shishimone boitalki? So we look at the tree, the cedar tree, the apple tree, whatever, and we ask ourselves, Rowan also ki ilu heim tenim, if we would imagine this tree to be a fig tree, Imru uyin lasos kiko devela shel shishimone boitalki, would it be productive enough to produce that amount of figs that would allow us to weigh a dvela of shishimone boitalki? Then that grove of trees, olive, cedar, oak, walnut, whatever, would become adjudged to be a steilon. Chorshin kol beisa'a b'shvilon. And we wouldn't be limited to plowing just in the immediate circumference of each tree, but rather we would be allowed to plow the entire beisa'a, the entire plot of land, 50 amos by 50 amos. The reason being that plowing in the case of such a tree so productive, and three of them so productive to equal that amount of produce, it's beneficial to plow the entire plot of ground, the entire plot of land, 50 amos, even quite a distance from the tree itself. However, pochos mikan, suppose you take a look at these three olive trees, walnut trees, cedar trees, whatever, and you say these three trees, had they been fig trees, would never be able to produce shishimone, that amount of produce, then you're not permitted to plow the entire plot of land, 50 amos by 50 amos, the entire base saw. But rather, ein chorshin lahem el litzorchon. All you can plow is the immediate surroundings, the immediate circumference, presumably, that means kemole ora vesalo, enough so that the farmer can walk around with his plow around the tree, with his basket, not between him and the tree, but the basket on the other side, on his other hand, and just take care of the immediate needs of the tree, but not to go further away from the tree than absolutely necessary for the plowing process to help the tree, the fruits on the tree, become nourished and grow better. So that's Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnayos now goes on to Mishnah Dalet and says, suppose, and again I will try to follow here, the Rambam's approach as opposed to the approach of the Rush. You remember that in Mishnah Beis I mentioned to you that when we learned that there have to be three trees and they have to yield shishim moneh, 60 moneh, about 28 kilograms of produce, of figs, that is a machlokas between the Rash and the Rambam, two of the great Rishonim. The Rash says that each of the three trees must be able to yield shishim moneh, whereas the Rambam says, no, the three trees together, cumulatively, must produce shishim moneh. We will follow, in explaining Mishnah Dalet, we will follow the Rambam's approach. Following the Rambam's approach, Hoyo echad ose kikar devela ushnayim ein osin. Suppose you have one tree which is very productive, and that tree can produce in itself a kikat vela of shishimone. The other two aren't producing anything at all, or very little. The sum total is a kikat vela. So as we will see, that's not sufficient. According to the Rambam, the three trees cumulatively must produce shishimone, which means that each tree must produce at least one-third of shishimone. Each tree must produce 20 mone. If you have three such trees, then it qualifies as steilon. So, if echad osa kikat vela, one produces so much, ushnayim enos, and the other two don't, oshnayim osin v'echad osa enos, this follows very well into the Rambam's approach. Two of them can combine 30 and 30 mana each to shishim mana. The other one, nothing, or very little. Ein choshen lohem elo litzorcha. Then you can only plow the immediate vicinity, the immediate circumference around the trees, but not the entire field of besa. Ad sheyihyu mishlosha v'yatisha. In other words, you have to have at least three trees, and they all have to be able to produce their weight, so to speak. If you have three trees following the Rambam, the way most of the Mefarshim understand the Rambam, if there are three trees, then each and every one of them must produce at least one-third of shishimon. If you have five trees, then each one of them must produce at least one-fifth of shishimon. And if you have nine trees, then each one of them must produce at least one-ninth of shishimon. Then, together, cumulatively, these trees from three until nine can produce their weight, their proportion of the weight of shishimone, then you can plow the entire field for them. But if you do not have that situation, but you have less than three, one is producing and the other two are not, or two are producing and the other one is not, then ein choshim lohem el etzorchon, you're limited to plowing the circumference of the tree until erev Shavuos. But the rest of the plot of land you cannot plow, you can only plow until erev Pesach, not later. But that's from three until nine. Hoyu asoro, if there are 10 trees, then we have a different halacha entirely. May asoro lamaila, from 10 and above, if you have a plot of land, 50 amos by 50 amos, a beisa, and you have 10 trees or more, then there's so many trees in this plot of land that justifies, no matter what they produce or don't produce, 10 trees in such a territory allows you to plow the entire territory, the entire 50 amos by 50 amos. Bein osin, bein she'ein osin, whether they're productive or they're not productive. So that if you have 10 puny trees and they can't produce among the 10 of them a kikat vela, doesn't make a difference. Because 10 trees, that's a steilon you can plow the entire besa up until atzeres, up until Shavuos. Now, the Mishnah shifts gears and addresses a question that I deliberately avoided asking and certainly answering until this point. I avoided it because the Mishnah avoids it. And that is, where does this come from? This prohibition against plowing in the sixth year. Poshut Pshat, the Torah says there are various agricultural activities that you can't do during the seventh year. But where do we see in the Torah a prohibition against doing preparatory activities in the sixth year? The sixth year is not Shvius, it's not Shemitah. So now we're going to be educated with regard to the meaning of a pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. The pasuk there, the simple context, is speaking about Shabbos, not doing work on Shabbos. This is in Parshas Kisisa, in Shemos Perek Lamed Daled, pasuk Chof Aleph. And in the context of learning about the prohibited types of labor, the fact that labor is prohibited on Shabbos, Shabbos Kodesh, Saturday, We also learn Bechorish uvakotzir tishbos, which literally means you should refrain from doing work, both in the time of plowing, in the plowing season, and in the reaping, in the harvesting season. Now, the assumption of this Mishnah is that this pasuk Bechorish uvakotzir tishbos cannot possibly be speaking about Shabbos Kodesh. Because Shabbos Kodesh, we have many psukim, even in the Aseres Hadibros, that tell us not to do work on Shabbos. So why do we have to be told not to do work in the plowing season and the reaping season? Do we have to be told not to plow and not to reap on Shabbos? So therefore, and by the way, this Mishnah, although it doesn't say so, is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and the other sources that tell us that it's Rabbi Akiva's position. He says that therefore, even though in the context of the Pasuk it seems to be speaking about Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Bereishis, the seventh day of the week, but really it's an allusion to the seventh year of the seven-year cycle. And they're telling us that in the seventh-year cycle, in Shavuos, which is also called a Shabbos, you can't plow and you can't harvest. Now, we don't have to be told that you're not allowed to do these types of work during Shemitah, as the Mishnah says. Ein tzorich lomer chorish v'kotzir shel shviyas. We don't have to be told that we're not allowed to plow and harvest during Shemitah, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Bahar, sodcha lo sizra, v'charmecha lo sizmor, sefiach ketzircha lo siktzor. The Torah tells us not to do agricultural work during Shviyas, although the Torah doesn't say don't plow, but as we'll see later. But we understand that the various agricultural activities are prohibited on Shviyas, on the seventh year. So why do we have to have this Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa tell us not to plow and not to harvest on Shemitah, on Shviyas, the seventh year? Ela chorish shel erev Shviyas shehu nichnas b'Shviyas. It's telling you that even plowing on the erev Shviyas, on the sixth year, for the purposes of planting on the seventh year, is also prohibited. That Chorish Shel Erev Shviyas, even Erev Shviyas, the sixth year, it's prohibited to plow if the plowing is going to help you do something productive on your farm during the seventh year. That's Chorish Shel Erev Shviyas Shehu Nichnas B'Shviyas. And also telling you to that it's prohibited, V'Kotzir Shel Shviyas Shehu Yotzei L'Motzoi Shviyas. What about a situation that in the first year of the new cycle of 7 years, you cannot harvest those things which grew mainly in the seventh year? So you're doing your work of harvesting in the eighth year, but since it grew mostly in the seventh year, that's Kotzir Shel Shviyas, the harvest of the seventh year, which is not being done during the seventh year, but Shehu Yotzei L'Motzoi Shviyas, it's being done in the eighth year, is also prohibited. So this opinion, which in our Mishnah is the Tanakama, the anonymous Tanakama, the anonymous Tana who is not named, and he says very many things. Number one, the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, which says, Bechorish uvakotzir tishbos, it's not speaking about Shabbos, meaning not speaking about Saturday, about Shabbos Bereishis. It is talking about Shabbos of Shemitah, Shabbos Lashem, Shabbos Haoretz. Number one. Number two, it's not talking about the Shabbos Haoretz, about the seventh year proper, because the seventh year proper we know from Psukim in Parshas Bahar. It's talking about Tosefes Shviyas. It's talking about adding on to Shviyas the prohibition against plowing in the sixth year in order to plant and harvest in the seventh year. And it's also telling you that in the eighth year you can't harvest that which was planted and which grew in the seventh year. So you have the Isur, the Isurim, the prohibitions extend earlier into the sixth year and later into the eighth year. This is all what Rabbi Akiva is telling us. Tanakam is telling us. Is this min ha-Torah? Is this nasmachta? Open question. But this is Rabbi Akiva's position. Along comes the rest of the Mishnah. And Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva's opponent in so many cases, he disagrees. And he says, you can't take that posuk, Bechorishu v'akotzir tishbos in Parshas Kisisa, out of its context. Its context is Shabbos Kodesh, Saturday, Shabbos Bereshis, not Shemitah. You can't take it away from Shabbos Kodesh. So why then do we have to be told that on Shabbos Kodesh you can't plow and you can't reap? Very interesting, as says Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Mechorish Rishus, just like plowing, never in the Torah is there a mitzvah plow. Plowing is a perfect example of a rishus. You want to have a farm, you're going to have to plow your land. But no mitzvah requires plowing. However, there are certain mitzvos which require reaping. Namely, when you bring the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach, you reap the barley which is used for the Korban Omer. Suppose the second day of Pesach is a Shabbos. Is it permissible to reap on Shabbos? Normally it's not permissible to reap on Shabbos, to remove from the ground a stalk of barley or whatever. So Rabbi Shmuel says that the Torah here is telling you that when is it not permissible on Shabbos to reap, to be kotzer? If the reaping is done optionally, you want to eat an apple and want to take it off a tree, that's not permissible on Shabbos. But if the reaping is for the purposes of a mitzvah, then that reaping cannot be compared to choresh, to plowing, because plowing is never a mitzvah. There's no such thing as a mitzvah to plow. But there are situations, namely the reaping of the barley for the Korban Omer, which is a part and parcel, and a necessary part and parcel of the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Omer. So therefore, says Rabbi Yishmael, ma choresh rishus, just as the plowing, which is prohibited in the Pasuk Bechorish Uvakotzir Tishbos, is referring to only that type of Chorish, which is a Rishus, which is really every type of Chorish, Avkotzir Rishus. So that Pasuk is telling you that the reaping which is not permissible on Shabbos Kodesh is the reaping which is not done for a mitzvah, which is done because you want to eat barley or wheat or apples or bananas or whatever. Then kotzer is also yotza ketzir ha'omer. But harvesting, reaping the korban omer, that is permissible even if the second day of Pesach, when the omer is harvested, is reaped, is a Shabbos. By the way, if during the year of Shemitah, it's also when it's generally not permissible to harvest, you can harvest for the mitzvah of Korban Omer, because Ketzir HaOmer is not included in the lav of, in the prohibition of harvesting, reaping on Shabbos Kodesh. What we see now is the Tanakama, whom we know to be Rabbi Akiva, has a basis in the Torah, albeit it's a stepwise drosha, to as a basis, but it's a basis that serves as a basis for extending the prohibitions of Shvius into the year of Shishis, which is what we've been discussing in this entire four Mishnayos that we've now concluded. According to Rabbi Yishmael, what is the basis of Tosefes Shvius? What is the basis? The Gemara in Moed Koton Daf Dalit says that Rabbi Shmuel would hold that the whole concept of Tosefes Shvius is not based, as the Tanakama Rabbi Akiva holds, upon the Pasuk, but rather it is a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. It has no basis in the scripture, in any text in the Torah. It is, quote, merely a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. By the way, further study in the sources, in the Gemara, in Moed Koton, and in the Rambam, indicate that the halacha l'Moshe Misinai that Rabbi Yishmael believed in was only for 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. From Rosh Chodesh Elul, you couldn't plow, etc., A, and B, only when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. But the Chachamim added, went back further, not to a month before Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year, but all the way back to Shavuos or even Pesach in the case of Estei Lovon. And we've been studying that situation. We already mentioned that later, after Rabbi Akiva, after Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din came along, and they were mevatel these up until Pesach or up until Shavuos restrictions, and they permitted plowing to be done after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, after the destruction of the Temple, right up until Rosh Hashanah, as the Torah says, without a reference to the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. In other words, the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai was only relevant as long as the Beis HaMikdash was standing. And so we have concluded lesson number two, and in the process we've concluded Mishnah Gimel and Mishnah Dalid of Perek Aleph.